completely redesigned Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever. Ever. Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.
Welcome to the Seed Sowing System Movement with your host, Patrice. Coming to the mic with biblical insight and seeds of empowerment is the Seed Sowing System.
Welcome to the Seed Sowing System Movement on the Bashani Radio app, on the Bashani website, and on all other Google Podcast formats. I'm your lead seed sowing sister, Patrice. Thank you for joining me today. To find out more about what's going on with Patrice, connect with me at patricebrantley.com. Well, we left off last week where we had Ruth traveling with Naomi and Oprah being pushed away with the spirit of doubt. Well, this week we're on the topic, girl, you tripping. I love you. Now go away. All right, so that's what we're picking up today. But before I jump into that, I need you to call a friend, text a friend, post it on your social media page. Make sure you download that Bashani app and tell everybody all about it. And then let's jump on into this good word. We're in Ruth chapter 1, verses 15-22. Once you've done that, I need you to make sure you grab your pencil, your paper, and most definitely your Bibles. So as I said before in our recap, here you have Ruth and Naomi and Oprah. They're traveling back to Judah to go back and find food from food during the famine that the Lord has been providing in that area. And now we get here, and then the voice of doubt shows up, come out of Naomi's mouth, saying, oh, you know, it's worse for her. She's lost her husband and her sons. And, you know, if she was able to get a boot of night, she still wouldn't be able to give them husbands and all this. And just the voice of doubt just started bombarding with a whole bunch of questions and a whole bunch of doubt. And guess what? The voice of doubt worked on Oprah, but it didn't work on Ruth. So today we're going to pick up where after Oprah has moved on and left to go back with her family, but Ruth has stayed. Verse 16. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where I die, where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirring because of them. And the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned to Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. So here is the real scoop. Now, Naomi is going here to go find food for the famine. And honestly, has to go back to her hometown. So I want y'all to get this picture. Naomi left the hometown on top. She was doing good. She was winning, looking real great. Left out, you know, body tight, right? Got her man, got her boo. Let's do this. They rolling in money. And then when she rolls back in the scene, Naomi shows up in here and life is very different. We're not on top right now. We're in the valley moment. And when you look, she's having a rough time in this valley, but she has a companion who is Ruth. And what I love about this we get to see so much in this particular text about the relationship of these women. And starting us off in KC1, we get to see that that spirit of doubt is still trying to push away Ruth. You know, the spirit of doubt, the spirit of fear, they don't care. They don't keep pushing until they can get rid of. But I love Ruth's response. Ruth has the response of a woman who is steadfast. She's saying, listen, I hear what you're saying. She knew the voice of doubt. She heard it because she saw the actual reaction it had on Oprah. But she wasn't going to let it take her out of it. So she said, no. Don't urge me to leave you or turn from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. What's interesting to see when you dig a little deeper at Oprah's history, Oprah had multiple gods. And so what looked like the voice of doubt, which really was the voice of doubt, was honestly Oprah being removed out of the equation so they can walk on one path. Oprah had multiple gods, and Ruth had made it clear that Naomi's God would be her God. And we already know two can't walk in the same path unless they're on one accord. And then I love that Ruth constantly in this whole experience, this whole exchange and conversation, Ruth didn't get hype. She didn't get hot. She just was the voice of steadfast faith. She just stayed back and just looked, okay, you can say all of that, but I'm still going to be right here. You ever had a friend like that? That no matter what go on, they just like, You're talking crazy. I hear you. But I'm going to still be right here. I'm going to still call you out on your crap. I'm going to still tell you how you got your issues happening. We're going to still rock. Okay. That's the kind of friend every man and woman should have in their life. You should have a friend like Ruth. Ruth is that friend that they write about in Proverbs 17:17. And just a refresher, it says a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born in a time of adversity. Literally, Ruth went from being a daughter to really a friend, a sister to Naomi, because in the midst of her adversity, she was tight right with her. She didn't move. And what I love about it is when you even go deeper into what Ruth did, she made an oath to Naomi by saying, may the Lord deal with me ever it be so severely if death separates us. When's the last time you had a friend that was that willing to say, hey, you know what? Nothing will separate us but death. Literally, if you looked, she had that process of thought that we would see from that old horror movie with Chucky, where he would say, I'm your friend until the end. That's the kind of friend Ruth was. She was like, I ain't going nowhere to the end, baby. We doing this. She was, her and Naomi were the original Thelma and Louise riding off on the cliff. So when you get here, verse 18, Naomi realizes something. It's kind of like that light bulb moment in your life when you realize, oh crap, this person real. Naomi realizes that Ruth is determined to go with her and she stops urging her. Then these two women go on into Bethlehem. And when they get into Bethlehem, something happens. But I'm going to go back for a second. KC5, when you realize that God has given you a God-sent friend, it's not for you to push that person away. It's for you to embrace them and go along with the journey. And I'm going to even go a little deeper. When God sends you heaven-sent friends, mentors, coaches, people in your circle, spiritual parents that are connecting for you, it's not for you to go and find fault. Because trust me, somewhere along in your life, you prayed for them. And they showed up. And it may have not been the person you wanted. It may have not been the way that you wanted, but it was the answer to a prayer. So you have to know that, hey, this is who I prayed for. And then realize that they may not look the way I thought they would look. They may not sound the way I thought they would sound, but they're the person that God has given me and said, yep, this is who you need for your journey. Remember, God doesn't give you the teacher you want. He gives you the teacher that you need. So let's go a little further. Then we get here and they enter the city. The city is all abuzz. Because y'all know everybody like, hey, Naomi coming back, y'all. Let's see what's going on. And y'all know how this works. So the two women enter the city and they get here and they arrive and the whole time it's a buzz and they going, is that Naomi? Because you know this is some busybodies trying to find out what's going on. Is this Naomi? And check out what Naomi does. Now this right here just gets me. Because remember, Naomi's name means pleasure. Pleasant. She's greeted by these women in the town and they're happy to see her, but they kind of got that little bit of a let me see what really went on with you kind of vibe happening. And when they get here, she turns on a full-blown Viola Davis act for them, and she goes into this, don't call me Naomi, call me Mora, because the Almighty has his hand against me and my life has been bitter. Help us say what? Wait a minute. You experienced a valley moment in life and you've equated this to the whole life? Let's break this down. Naomi left doing well. And everybody was excited to see her because some of them really wanted to see, hey, how you were doing, and some was coming to be messy. Remember when you greet, when you're traveling, and especially when you're traveling home, you got to know who's your message, who's your messengers, and who's just being plain messy. Then when she got here, Naomi put on the full show and started having a full-blown pity party. No, ma'am, we don't do this. She literally started having a pity party. And then in the midst of her pity party, she started labeling herself. You ever had a moment and you start labeling yourself and you know God didn't call you to label? You ever start doing this? Oh, you're so stupid. Oh, you're a loser. Oh, you ain't gonna do this. That's what Naomi was doing. She literally started labeling herself something that God had not called her. The whole time, her name had been Naomi, which means pleasure, pleasant. And then here she goes, start naming herself, come on, call me Mora for being bitter. No, we shall not. Then she gets hit a key C4. She started blaming, literally. Look at what she did, because she did it real slick. She was like, oh, because the Almighty has made my life bitter. She was blaming God on the low. She started blaming God for a temporary trial. Yes, you know, this is back in the day when you had to have a husband. There was no independent women here because at this point, when you had a husband, you literally, that was your namesake for your property, your bills, everything was connected to your husband. That was your lifeline. And then she just went into this whole blame game that God was against her for this moment that was a temporary trial. Let's go a little further. Then she starts going really deep and goes, I went away full, but the Lord brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So not only are you getting here, you having this pity party, you labeling and you blaming yourself. You got to a point that you've become slightly blind in your walk because when God was good, you was feeling it. You was praising him. Oh, yes, God was so good to me. But the minute it got a little hard, the minute it took a turn that you weren't expecting, all of a sudden God done put, he's afflicting you. Have you forgot the kind of God you serve, Naomi, at this moment? You forgot who he is? So let's go a little further. And it made me think as I'm reading this, I'm like, you know what? It's interesting because I know all of us are human and we all can see God when things are going great. We see God when things are going great. We out here, we singing, we dance, the hands are raised, we on it. But can you still see the goodness in God when things ain't going your way? When some unexpected stuff is happening, unfortunate stuff is happening. Can you still see God when the job closed? Can you still see God when he has told you to step out in faith and you don't see the staircase? Can you still see him? Is he still good to you then? All right, let's keep rolling. Then we get here to verse 22. So Naomi returns from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabiness, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Let's go ahead and let's look at this. So they're arriving in, and I want you to see the timing of this. They're coming back Naomi is in her moment over here. She's in this whole moment, but they're arriving back at a specific time. And as they get here, Ruth is coming into a place she's never been in, moving into new beginnings with only her mother as her mother-in-law, excuse me, as her support. And then she gets here and they're entering a new season. I want you to take a moment and really just let that settle in right now. She left a place that was dead, not just dead with her spouse, but dead in what was happening, famine, all of the good in that space that was for them. Because it may have not been dead for somebody else, but everything that was in that space for them had dried up. And it was time to hitch up their wagon and move to a new location to get into the newness. They arrived at the beginning of a harvest season. Has there been a time in your life when God has said, everything over here has dried up, now it's time for you to move into a new harvest season? Were you ready to move? Or were you doing like Naomi? Were you busy over here talking about what was in the past and how God afflicted you? Or were you doing like Ruth and stepping into this new season, ready to embrace and really take hold of what was coming new? All right, y'all, let me get into my two wise words. This part got real good to me, y'all. All right, so the wise word, number one, it goes from verses 15 to 18. In the journey of life, you must have friends who are steadfast, full of faith, true to heart, and determined to walk the path with you as God is your guide. And then the second wise word, in your life, you must have the right partner who will not allow you to soak in your pity, mislabel yourself, or blame yourself, or blame God, and help you see God's goodness in the good times and the bad. Join me as we get into next week, because we're going to be talking about walking into this new harvest season, and we're jumping right into the topic, the cleanup woman, a heavenly welfare system. All right, well, y'all know how this goes. Let's go out and be great, because we are great, and our greatness is now. It no longer awaits. You all have a great day, and don't forget to share this with a friend.
Join us next week for another soul-stirring set of seeds with the Seed Sowing Sista. Follow Patrice for daily seeds on our Seed Sowing Sista Facebook group.
Completely redesigned, Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever. Ever. Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.